Hey guys, welcome back to Tom Girl. This is episode 30. Now you may recognize him from The Biggest Loser. He is also the author creator of The 20 Minute Body and the co-founder of Sweat with Soul. Stay tuned for Brett Hobell.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Tom Girl. This is episode 30, the Dirty 30, and I am here with Brett Hobell.
I'm honored to be the Dirty 30. What's up?
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Where can your followers follow you at?
You can follow me at Brett Hobell on all my social media, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, and also at Sweat with Soul, which is my new athleisure brand.
And we're definitely going to talk about that. You guys can follow the show at Tom Girl TV. All right, so much to talk about, so let's just jump right
in. Let's dig in.
All right, first, let's go back a little bit. How did you first get into fitness? What drew you to this industry?
I was an athlete my whole life. My mom put me in gymnastics at 2 because I was a hyperactive kid, and I excelled at sports. I gained a lot of weight because I had a wheat allergy as a kid, so I wasn't allowed sugar or wheat. And that created, honestly, a lot of eating disorders for me growing up. And I was finally able to go back to fitness to sort of get me out of this very, very deep hole because I had gained 50 pounds and my coaches were telling me to stop training. It was crazy. Mm. I went from captains of the team to not being picked on the team and got bullied a lot for being overweight. Mm. And fitness became my freedom. I found that freedom in it again. I let myself excel. We were actually a big turning point in my life. We were traveling. We were on sabbatical with my dad. I was a new kid and didn't have any friends and said, F it. I'm going to go back and do sports and I'm going to show these kids I could. And that gave me my mojo back. I started martial arts. So it's always been a big part of my life. My tagline for my company is fitness from within. Mm-hmm. And so fitness was all part of my life. I just didn't want to do it as a career, but I was a pre-med and realized that was not my path. And I remember asking my dad, who was a professor, could have earned a lot more money working for private companies, but always loved being a professor. He said, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you find something that you love because it will not feel like work, or the money will come or won't matter to you. And I was really trying so hard to be a physician. And I just said, you know what? A fitness has always been a part of my life and my past and all those things. And that's how I decided to do it part-time. This was part-time. Mm-hmm. I was like a broke lab tech trying to get into med school, couldn't afford it. And I honestly, my very first start in fitness was, I need a free membership. So I'm going to apply as the assistant boxing instructor, which I did. I show up with my clipboard and my like suit jacket. And the guy says, 20 extra people showed up. Put your resume down. Here are some focus mitts. Teach with me. Hmm. Sink or swim. I swam. And he said, I don't need to look at your resume. You're great with everybody. You're hired. So my first, very first part was not because I wanted to. I needed a membership. Mm-hmm. And I got in. But I realized this is something I love. And when I hit that crossroads, my dad gave me that very indelible speech. I just said, well, I've been doing this part-time. I'm going to do it full-time. But the bottom line is, I think I found something that I really, truly have a calling for that I love to do, and I changed careers, and I've never looked back.
Mm-hmm. Now, once you decided to go full-time, how did you find your particular, like, niche in there?
That took a little while. I remember I was a boxing instructor. Like I said, I was part-time, mm-hmm. and then at this point, I said, I'm going to do this full-time because it's the one thing that I get out of bed in the morning thinking about. My playlist. I stay later for these classes. I'm early. It's like every other thing in my life. No, that's, you're not putting that love into it. So sweat with soul is part of that. It's like find something that you had love for. You can sweat with soul in your career, in working out, in relationship. I'm like, damn, I sweat with soul when I get in here and do my thing. So this is going to be my career. And I was like, here's a funny story. I would teach a warm up with a jump rope. People would steal the jump rope in the gym. So I said, okay, I got to improvise. I'm going to do to the beat. We're going to shadow box. And I was studying a Brazilian martial art, capoeira. It's got some moves in it. And I was dancing in the club. So I'm like, let me do that. Let me tie all this stuff together in a warm up. My boss calls me into his office and he said, he goes, I got a problem. People are leaving your class because you're warm up. And I said, oh, man, I'm sorry. He goes, well, for every 2 guys that are leaving, I got 4 girls coming in that love it. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And this guy said, hey, this warm-up thing is really cool. Have you ever thought of, like, It's like Taibo. I'm like, I don't know what Taibo is. He said, well, it's out of LA. I was in New York at the time. Why don't you think about doing a full class in this? So I took his advice and I turned this warm up that clearly people were liking. And I love to do it to the beat. And I turned it into a class and I came up with the name Urban Motion. And this was the first time that I felt like I had created something myself. And it was everything that I was doing at the time, boxing, kickboxing, capoeira, and this kind of freestyle dance. And I had a friend who was a lawyer, said, I'll help you trademark it. And that was the first thing that really made me feel like I've created something unique and I kind of own it. And that was the big pivotal time. Is actually the first thing I ever launched was Urban Motion.
So then how do you go from that to now your whole fitness program that you have and with all the DVDs and books and different programs?
I think it was honestly, you'll look at a lot of times it's like survival. When something bad happens in a company and they have to pivot, then you have to bootstrap it and you see where your creativeness goes. So I was doing all these classes as a group fitness instructor, and I butted heads for whatever reason with one of the general managers at, I was working, I got from New York Sports to Equinox and a couple other places, and this guy at Equinox fired me, just like out of the blue. And of course, I'm thinking this is the worst thing ever. It was the best thing ever.
So funny how that happens, right?
Right?
Sink
or swim again. And I just said, well, what can I do? I was private training and I was teaching classes. So, you know, it's like I say, not everything's about money, but if you're taking $100,000 job, you're probably not going to go back to the $50,000 one. I had moved up the ranks in sort of these high-end gyms that I was teaching at. I didn't want to go teach for the other ones. So what it forced me to do was say, okay, I'm not going to teach at these top-tier gyms anymore. There was a new concept called independent training that had come out. So you could go to a place that only let you do private training. And at that point, before I got fired, I was 80% teaching classes, 20% private training. Now it became 100% private training, and I got in, and it forced me to, well, now you don't have a gym funding you clients. What are you going to do? I learned at that point it wasn't Photoshop. It was called Quark. So I learned how to make my own press kits, and it forced me to get my you-know-what together with my personal training business, which is great because I actually got paid more money, right? I was getting paid not as much money doing all that. I got paid more money and it taught me how to hustle to get clients and do my marketing. And all of a sudden I was making more money. And the person that ran the group fitness, ran that gym, that independent gym, said, have you ever taught classes? I think you'd be great. I said, yeah, I used to for a long time. I don't. And she goes, we're going to come up with a class for you to take you back into teaching. And I did. I went back to Equinox with a new class. That guy was gone. I got hired back. And I remember the girl that got me in, so much of it is about connections and not what can you do for me. Serve somebody else and see how it comes back. The girl that hired me at Equinox, she needed a place to do independent training. And I said, come over to this place, Revolution. I got her in there. She got me a year and a half later back into Equinox. She goes, I'm going to give you an audition. The head honcho guy that everyone follows is in the Hamptons for the summer. I'm going to give you his Saturday spot. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Half these girls are going to walk out on you because they don't want to see anybody else. And you're going to sink or swim. I swam. I had people in my first class in the front row walk out on me. I'm like, really? In the warm up? Oh, you're going to roll like that? They're like, later. Threw their hair up and split. And I just said, can you guys move up? Filled it in. I just, guess what? All those people that were his groupies, that's cool. They never came back. Like I said, four more people kept coming in. And I created a legion of people that showed up. And I became the number one instructor at that gym from just doing what I do best. And that really catapulted me into, I got Best of New York by New York Magazine, and all these accolades came in. But it was, I was serving others. It was, I think I was very consistent. I was there all the time, but I was doing something that I freaking love to do. And guys, sometimes you sink or swim. If it is something that really you're not just doing for the money, you're doing it because it serves, it's about purpose, you're going to swim.
So in those moments, where do you find that courage to to swim? Like when people are walking out on you, what does that do to you, or where do you find that?
You know what it is? It's almost like the I have to say, when I was that overweight kid, I remember the guys that used to pick on me and beat me up, basically. I like years later, now I'm a freshman in high school. This was all in my middle school years, teenager. 14, freshman year in high school, weigh in on football at 170. That's like a big guard. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm 5'7". I wrestle the next year at 120, shredded. Wow. So it was like, what happened in that? What happened was, every time I would be running on the lacrosse field or on the wrestling mat, I would see these guys or other people, and I would tell myself, you gave your word to yourself that you would not quit. And there just comes a point where you, whether it's hitting rock bottom, there will be what I call the fitting point, which is this tipping point inside of you emotionally. Most of us have to have the doctor say, you're going to have a freaking heart attack or something else. But sometimes you can act out of inspiration, not desperation, but there's a fitting point. And when it happens, you're just so emotionally connected that you just have that drive. You're on mm-hmm. autopilot. It happened to me. And I just, you know, there just came a point where I was so disgusted with myself and being like, oh, you really don't know why you're overweight? How about it's because you're eating food in the closet, hiding it from your mom? Like, that's the eating disorders mm-hmm. I had. And it was luckily I had this sort of epiphany about it, and it gave me this hyper accountability to my word, which is very hard for a lot of us to do. All of a sudden I became, if I put my hand up and say, I swear to God and I swear to myself, it was like life or death. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, they don't get to that. There are, you know, there are certain things that you can do, but I was at that point. So I'd be on the lacrosse field and I'd say, these are the guys that used to bully you or beat you up. You will run past these guys 10 yards unless your legs fall off. Mm-hmm. I just had this insatiable drive, and that insatiable driveness to get out of me that hole has been what I've been able to do in fitness or business, mm-hmm. where it's like, shit, something just bad happened. You have to have this stick-to-itness, this toughness, this I'm not going to quitness. And I'm going to tell you, for a lot of us out there, it comes from your struggle. And I will tell you this. If you've had a privileged life and it hasn't happened, or even if you've had a lot of struggle, when you work out, a lot of people say fitness is 80% nutrition. Let me tell you, losing weight has a lot to do with nutrition. But when I don't eat a donut and I eat a salad, that doesn't build inner toughness. When I do an ass-kicking workout where that chatter's in my ear saying, you should quit, and I shatter the chatter and say, oh, hell no. That inner toughness you can't get from a diet. And that inner toughness that you can get in every damn workout, that's what carries you through these business decisions, or it does for me. So it's like you get strength in your struggle. And I'm telling you, if you don't feel like you have it, go do some ass-kicking workouts and you will find strength mm-hmm. in your struggle, or you won't.
And not to mention that feeling you have after your workout. You know, I mean, if you're depressed or you're feeling low, I mean, there's that high that you have after a good 100%. Kick-ass workout like that.
But I will say that a lot of my role models in business, a lot of them have been able to carry that work ethic into their training. Some not, but I will say that, you know, you have to figure out, even if you don't know the direction to pivot, just that I'm not going to quitness is something you have to show yourself over and over and over again. And I found it through working out. That's mm-hmm. where I got it. And I just was like, I'm proving something to myself with myself and my body and my will.
Mm-hmm. What other philosophies from your past do you bring in now when you're working with clients or in your programs?
I believe like diversity is really big, huge. So I grew up a very ethnically diverse person. That wasn't really cool when I grew up. I got teased a lot because I was adopted. I didn't look like my parents. I had quote unquote slanted eyes, big lips, brown skin, whatever. And now diversity or being ethnic ambiguous is like in. But I just, for me, like having these united colors of Benetton is really important. So I want to carry that into my business in all of the branding and aesthetics. So when we did a lot of the photo shoots for Sweat with Soul, the first photo shoot we did was very much sort of one ethnicity. Then next one is like, hey, guys, we got to mix this up. I want to show that we are culturally diverse, and that's how we roll in all the stuff we do. So I think diversity helps bring strength with it.
Great. Now that you've mentioned Sweat with Soul, let's dive in and talk about that. So tell me about this creation and what the apparel. It's amazing.
How it started, I met a girl, actually, my business partner and girlfriend. I was teaching a class at the LA Fit Expo that I just taught at, and the woman that runs it, like, it's the matchmaker. Can I get a shout out? My girlfriend at the time, she was reporting. She was a reporter and meteorologist for KTLA 5. She was covering it. So I show up in the morning. She's covering it. I remember the first thing I said to her is, hey, I just want to go over some stuff. And she turns around. She's like, hold on. I'm putting on my face. I'm like, dang, all right. Because it's like, you know, 6 in the morning. It's really early. Well, she comes out. I show her the moves. I'm doing capoeira. Capoeira is an Afro-Brazilian martial art that fuses martial arts and dance. So it looks like breakdancing, gymnastics, and karate all together. So she was an ex competitive figure skater, and she starts doing it. She's like, I love this workout. This is awesome. We do the live shoot live on KTLA 5, and afterwards she's like, oh my God, I really want to know where to do this. We start exchanging information. And I remember, you know, news people got to put on a lot of makeup. So she takes her hat off, hair falls down. I'm like, wait a minute. Can we exchange like numbers?
Well, so you just went for it, huh?
I just eventually went for it. She says, no, you came walking back, and I knew when you came walking back after leaving, you were going to ask me for my information. I'm like, fine, all right, whatever. You know, like, I remember walking out with the girls, and I said, it was one of these moments where it's sort of like, let's not miss out on this because fear has shown up, and fear says, oh, she's going to say no. Oh, she's good too good for you. You know, like, we all have this anxiety, and I had that anxiety. But then this little voice, it's like, in that workout, don't listen to that. I said, you only live once. What's the worst thing that can happen? She's going to say, no.
Yep.
Okay, fine. Went back, and it was like, it was awesome, you know? It was meant to be, I think.
I love it.
So we found each other that way through fitness, and we decided to try to do a couple projects together. And we found very quickly that we both love to post inspirational quotes to our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, what about doing a t-shirt line like that? She said, I've always wanted to. I said, so did I. And it was cool just bonding on another level with this of it's not just, let me put a quote on my Instagram. You start to understand why they do that and what speaks to them and what purpose does this serve for them. So we started doing that, and we said, well, what about a t-shirt line? Well, this little t-shirt line turned into a full-on athleisure line, and just, you know, we were going to get, oh, let's just get some blanks made, turned into, we're now partners with someone that has a manufacturing plan, and we really have turned into apparel entrepreneurs that neither of us thought, but we love it 100%. Mm-hmm. Again, why? Because at this point, we needed to do something that served a bigger purpose for us. Just doing an Instagram quote wasn't enough. When you wear something that you stand for, you feel empowered. Mm-hmm. I know that. If I wear something that makes me feel good and makes me look good, I'm empowered. Period. I put my quotes on everything, and if I wear a lot of brands that have a quote. So if it has a message that you want and it makes you feel like you look good in it, damn, you just hit like a double home run. People are always going to you to look toward, you know, a lot of it is advice or what does that mean? And so that was another way for us to serve and give people an empowered voice. So that's where both of us are at right now. And it's so amazing to have people show us their hats that they're wearing or their shirts and to say, hey, like so many girls have said, women have said, and guys, but mainly women have said, I have like 4 people that were at the gym and saw me and asked where, what, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's great that people are responding to our message. What we only launched with are inspirational messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does it feel to have such a, since they're inspirational, so a positive, powerful kind of community too of people? Like when I went on there, it was great to see different people in them, you know, talking to each other. I mean, are you hoping to build this into a
Absolutely.
Bigger kind of fitness community?
Yeah. I mean, what we say on our About Us is we are a mission dedicated to inspiring healthy, conscious living. Like that's the bottom line. I don't want to be a clothing brand. I want to be something that contributes to a movement. There is a movement going on right now globally that is about positive thinking, positive people, positive body image. It's all about that. And I was saying to her, we're a big part of that. Your message on KTLA5, your own social media, and mine too, there are a lot of people that look to us for that, that we get inspired by. Let's keep pushing that. So when we created the Sweat with Soul Athletes Your Line, it's not to do clothing. This is about being part of something bigger, of a movement. So it feels damn good to do that and have people put on your stuff and feel empowered. It's amazing. And we have a shirt like Woman Warrior. At first, what I was thinking about that was part of it was like my sister, one of my older sisters, that was always talking about a lot. She was a very big feminist and talking about that. So that was part of the inspiration of being a woman warrior. I had a ton of people that come in and said, I'm buying this for someone that has had cancer and I don't want to have pink on it. And so it's a survivor thing. It's just crazy to see how a lot of the things have resonated with people.
Tell everybody again where they can find that.
They can go to sweatwithsoul.com or on our at sweatwithsoul social media.
Okay, great. Well, I have a couple of your Instagram because I loved a lot of your quotes as well. Just being there was one. I think this is. Well, actually, I think number five. Well, you got six up. Okay, we'll go with this one. Your comment. Okay, well, sorry. Back to this one. I'm confusing you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Anthony. This is at number five. So this one was talking about your line. And one of the quotes you said, you are never alone on your fitness journey. There will always be someone to inspire you and to inspire you back.
Absolutely. And a perfect example is you're in a class. You're doing push-ups. And you're just, the chatter is in your ear. Mm-hmm. It's at volume 7 saying nobody's looking, right? And there is somebody, it's the person behind you that you can't see, that when you squeeze out that last push-up, they're like, damn it, I'm going to do one too. You know?
Yep.
There's always someone like that because you know you've been that person in that spin class or something else, and you just see them and you're just so inspired by their effort. You know, effort is free. Regret is expensive. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying is maybe it's not someone that is your workout buddy. You are going to inspire someone next to you, but you know these people that inspire you, whether it's your YouTuber or it's that maybe that woman that you're like, she's always at this damn class. Mm-hmm. She does not quit. There's just always someone alongside of your journey. It may not be your workout buddy, but I guarantee there's someone out there, and I guarantee you are that inspiration for someone else.
That's great. All right. So now we'll go to, we're much timeless. This one, I like this one. So this one you put, when you feel isolated, abandoned, or betrayed, there's always one rock you can stand on to ground yourself, your fitness. That is the one thing you have control over, and it will change your life. What are you waiting for? This kind of sums it up, right?
I believe that. I believe. Here's an example. My parents, when they grew up, they had church. And I remember going there, and it was a little hard for me to understand as a kid. But what I did understand is there's a lot of interesting adults here that have really interesting conversations. And there's just an energy when they are at church and after they leave that feels like a very heightened vibe. Mm-hmm. I would always notice that. My mom would be smiling and laughing. My dad, it was just like that particular church had a lot of international people that were professors at the University of Princeton where I grew up, where my dad was a professor. And I just remember this feeling. I don't have church. And I think a lot of us in my age demographic, and definitely for the younger demographic that are the millennials, don't have the same type of church. Mm-hmm. But you know where I have church? You know where my community is? It's in the gym. It's in fitness. There's a real community there. So that's part of Sweat with Soul. There's an enlightenment. Mm-hmm. There's a community. There is salvation there. So I believe that whatever you're going through, if you put your pain and purpose into your sweat, you are going to find stability. You're going to find that rock. Just don't beat yourself up over it. Don't work out because you hate your body. Work out because you love your body. You know, like kind of if you have this very militant relationship with fitness, fitness is more than your body. If that's all it is to you, that rock is not going to be very stable. Mm-hmm. You got to sweat with soul in it. You got to find something a little bit deeper, but it can absolutely be that rock for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally relate because I don't go to church either. And I do go to SoulCycle a couple times a week. And I know people are like, oh, it's expensive or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, but it's my church. And I know it may sound silly to some people.
Do you take Pixie or who do you?
I take David, 7 a.m.
David Zint.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
David. I love
David. I think
it's
David. His last name. We just, you know, just David on the
David.
Schedule. Blonde.
Spin villain. Like,
yes.
David.
Yes, my boy.
And what about his wife? How crazy yes. she is on the bike?
Yeah.
David's got that message, man.
Yeah,
forget about
exactly.
it. He, yeah. So big, exactly. And I believe you have to find people like that and classes mm-hmm. like that and studios like that that offer that. That is how to sweat with soul, 100%. So I'm preaching to the choir.
No, I'm all about you. I get this. I'm going to find your classes and do all your stuff and this, and your line. All right. So I know we're just about to wrap up. I do want to talk about one more thing real quick, because you also have what you started, because you had told us about the bullying stories that you had earlier. Uh-huh. You also have a Rise Above Bullying program that you do.
So this was more than traditionally a program. It was more of an activation that I would go in to help get the teachers that were there have a different relationship with bullying with their kids and be able to take some of the principles with that to talk to the kids about. And it was more almost like a pep talk for a lot of the kids. And what I had done, I'd actually seen a movie called Happiness. And one of the guys that was in that, it was all one of the things of happiness was service. If you serve other people, that's one way. It's not about money. It's not about X, Y, and Z. It's about serving other people. There was a guy that was going into these schools and mainly middle school and high school, and he would give these motivational speeches. And I was like, man, this guy is amazing, and I want to try to do what he did. So I was going into these schools. It started overseas when I was working out with the military and giving free workouts for the as part of the for the military. And I got to work with some of the kids at the schools over there. We did a tour, and then I brought it back into the States. And it was really this activation pep talk for a lot of the kids on my story, but the main thing was getting the kids to come up and share. And mm-hmm. when they would do that, you could hear like a pin drop. And it was also taking some of the teachers and saying, this is how I think you can create a relationship around them, but having the kids create a real conversation and letting them lead the conversation instead of a didactic, let me tell you and do this, do that. You can provide the resources, but what makes kids talk more than anything else is when they're talking amongst themselves. So that was this Rise Above Bullying. I went through it a lot as an adopted kid, an overweight kid. And it's something that I'm going to, we've been talking to other agencies that are bigger that will have me come in and again do these more activation talks. But if people want information about true anti-bullying programs, there's a ton. In September is Anti-Bullying Month.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming here and sharing everything. I think everything you're doing is wonderful.
Thank you.
So tell everybody one more time where they can follow you, where they can get your wonderful athleisure line.
So you can follow me, guys, at Brett Hobel is where all of my social media is. And if you want more information, actually, on my fitness programs, I do all workouts that are 20 minute or less with very little equipment. That website is 20minutebody.com. 20minutebody.com. If you want any of the athleisure stuff, that would be awesome. Go to sweatwithsoul.com, and the social media again is sweatwithsoul.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for watching. You can follow me at Tom Grill TV, and we'll see you here again next week. Have a great one.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.